Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and sitting in-house this afternoon is good friend Robert Medrano, the program coordinator to the USO here in El Paso, top of the afternoon. Gosh, it's been a long time.
It has been, Dennis. It seems like time just flies when you're having fun and keeping busy.
Absolutely. And since the last time we've talked, you guys have opened up two new locations.
That's correct. We opened a new location in addition to the one that we have on West Fort Bliss, which opened in 2007, at East Fort Bliss in April of 2010. So we've kept busy with that. And then just recently, about a month and a half ago, we've opened up a new location at the El Paso International Airport.
So that means you should be looking for more volunteers in order to help staff.
Oh, definitely. As you know, Dennis, the USO is a volunteer-based organization. We have a very limited staff of four staff members, and the volunteers are our core. And without them, we cannot provide the services and programs that we do for our service members on Fort Bliss.
You know, one of the things that is always a plus, no matter where you go in the world, literally, I hear this from service members all the time, retired, active duty, and family. Whenever they see a USO, it's like a piece of home.
Definitely. That's always good to hear, and that's what we strive for. The USO is there for service members at home and abroad in areas that you might not even think of. We're in locations that might not be very pleasant for our USO staffs to provide service, but we'll be wherever we can be to support our service members.
Briefly, there is a long and rich history to the USO. There's some rich stories.
Definitely. The USO has been around since 1941. Under the direction of Franklin Roosevelt, President Franklin Roosevelt, six organizations came together to create the USO, and those six organizations are represented in our logo. And since then, the USO has made it its mission to be there to lift the spirits of America's troops and their families, whether it be through celebrity entertainers. You know, we talked about the history. We have Bob Hope, you know, at the very beginnings with Marilyn Monroe and all those other great entertainers of that day. And now we're talking, you know, Toby Keith, Stacy Keibler, NFL stars and coaches, different movie stars as well, go out to the front lines literally to show support to our service members and provide that morale boost, let them know that we're thinking about them back home.
When we talk about the USO here in the Desert Southwest with the three locations that you have here, West Fort Bliss, East Fort Bliss, and at the airport, and what it takes in order to staff that whole organization, what are some of the services that most people would be most familiar with the USO?
Well, let's start with the entertainment. The entertainment is what gets the most publicity for obvious reasons. It's great work that these entertainers are doing for our troops, and that gets a lot of visibility. But to kind of put that in perspective, that's only about 5 to 10% of what the USO does. Biggest thing that anyone can see when they're in the United States, you know, civilians or service members see a center, and that's a very large program for us. Our centers house snack bars, internet cafes, Xbox gaming stations, lounge areas, and pool tables. Just think of it like a big, kind of like a rec room, but in a setting that very much resembles a home. We want the service members to feel like, you know, they're in a place where they can relax and kind of, you know, for lack of better words, let their guard down and really decompress and enjoy those services. And all of those items in those centers are operated all of those items in the center are maintained and watched over and given access by volunteers in their time. Volunteers open our doors and close our doors for us while we're out and about, you know, having conversations with folks like you and your listeners to spread the word about our mission. Our volunteers are working right now at our centers, making sure that, you know, each one of the service members that walks in there is getting the absolute best treatment that we can provide and or have access to those amenities.
If one of our, and hopefully it'll be a whole lot of folks out of our listening audience who would want to become volunteers, how do they contact you?
They can either call our locations on Fort Bliss, numbers 915-744-3480. They can visit our website, uso.org. We're also on Facebook. You can look up USO El Paso, you know, messages there. But if they want to just get right to it, they can visit usovolunteer.org and create a profile for themselves, and that would be the first step to get them into the door. We have volunteers from all walks of life, students that are still making their way through UTEP or community college. We have military spouses that volunteer their time for us, and we have service members that volunteer their time to give back to the organization that's given to them. But you'd be surprised how many civilians with little or no connection to the military we have showing their appreciation for what the men and women of our armed services do. If any of your listeners out there just think a little bit into their friends' lives or their own lives and their own family's lives, there's probably somebody that has served or is serving in the military right now. So we're connected in one way or another with everybody outside of the Fort Bliss's gates.
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely correct. I think our listening audience can relate on a one-to-one basis. Whether they themselves were service members or are service members, their families are connected, and the extended family can take you all the way back to World War II. You know, the USO was always there. So that brings me to another question. Volunteers who can't devote time can also maybe contribute in other ways.
Definitely. If there's very limited time on a volunteer's end, maybe they can help us with something that they very much like to do. If their hobby is photography, every now and then maybe we could reach out to them and have them come down for events and take some pictures for us. Or if they just really love to do spreadsheets, if that's just that person's thing that they just really enjoy doing. You know, we always have, you know, new systems that we're putting in place to better serve our service members, and we could use that kind of expertise in assisting us to create those spreadsheets and you know, do some data entry. Those are just a few ideas. Let's say somebody is retired and they just love having their family over, and their neighbors over. We have a very unique fundraising program that allows them to organize a barbecue. This program is called Barbecue for the Troops, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Those that like to participate in this kind of fundraising activity can make a very intimate barbecue for their close family and friends, and you know, charge a fee for those folks to participate. And if there's somebody that just really is gung-ho and wants to go all out, they can get together with their neighbors and create a block party and charge a fee for that, and then create events, you know, cornhole or pin the tail on the donkey, or tug of war, or whatever it is, and have a small fee attached to those who'd like to participate, and that money is collected and then donated to the USO through a very robust system that we've put in place to help those that are interested in organizing something like that to do so. So again, there's, you know, anything from a few hours a month to you know, maybe once a year. With this Barbecue for the Troops, for instance, but we're very flexible, and then the time that's donated is very much appreciated.
And you do have events that are coming around the corner here over the next few months.
We do. We definitely do. We have a very large fundraiser for us locally. It's called the Oryx Challenge. It's a cycling event. It's on its fourth year, and we've had a great success with it. We started in our first year with over 200 participants, and it's been growing. To last year, we had over 400, and we're expecting a lot more this year. And that's in September 15th. And folks can go on to raceadventuresunlimited.com to register for that. So again, we'll have that Oryx Challenge on September 15th for those cyclists in the community that would like to take part in that event and support our service members that way. But every day, our centers have the activity that they house inside of them. We also have a mobile canteen program, and what it is, it's a catering truck that we use to go out into the community in Fort Bliss, and in New Mexico as well, White Sands Missile Range, Kirtland Air Force Base. We've gone out to Albuquerque with our programming as well, and we have those events ongoing throughout the year. where we'll go out and serve hot dogs and hamburgers to service members that are training or have completed training or even preparing for deployment. And those events are a lot of fun for not only the service members because they get a break, you know, from maybe an MRE or from the food that they're getting at the DFAC, but for the volunteers to, you know, be able to hand that, you know, burger to a service member. And then we hear this a lot, hear the service member thank them for that hamburger and hot dog. It's a very humbling experience for our volunteers. And we have events throughout the year at our locations as well, you know, Super Bowl parties. We're coming up on some October festivities, you know, fall harvest festivals that we have at the facilities as well. So throughout the year, there's any number of different activities that volunteers can help with. And again, if there, any of those different items pique interest, then that's something that they can focus on.
What fascinates me the most about the USO is the relationship. It's almost a one-on-one relationship with that service member who is alone for possibly the first time, or maybe it's a second or third deployment, is still alone and finds a touch of home.
Oh, definitely. Yes, we hear that all the time, Dennis. It's actually surprising how often we hear it. And I think it goes back to some of the unknowns about our military. Our military is made up of a majority of 18 through 21-year-olds. That, like you said, it might have been their first time leaving the town that they came from, and they end up at Fort Bliss, and now they're in this whole new world in this organization that demands a lot from them, and the USO is that familiar face that they can see throughout their career in different phases of their military career as well, whether they're in the United States at a installation with the USO Center, or they're traveling throughout the United States at an airport center. Even again, like I mentioned earlier, overseas at our overseas locations, there's that constant, you know, friend that they can rely on, and we hear that a lot. And that's even if we don't do anything for that service member, they just come in and sit down. That's something that they very much appreciate.
If you've just tuned into El Paso Primetime, we're talking with Robert Medrano. He's the program coordinator to El Paso's USO. There are three locations, two on Fort Bliss and one at the El Paso International Airport. And the one thing that amazes me, having never served in the military, is that special one-on-one relationship, that's what we've been talking about, between the volunteer who helps out the USO and the servicemen and women who will come into the facility and get a touch of home. Everything from, say, the usual amenities, a burger, fries, Coke, and all that, to a very special thing called the phone call home.
Right, yeah, that one phone call, you know. And there's maybe 15 other service members behind him waiting to make that same phone call. But stories like that, Dennis, is what really keeps us going.
Yeah.
And we always love to hear when people share their stories, it's always the first time that they went to a USO is what they share. It's that initial contact that we have that really sticks in a service member's mind that's very special to us.
When they're greeted at the airport, at the facility there, what do service members get when they come to the facility? Because they deploy either through the transient terminal in the back, or they'll come off a commercial airliner. And when they see the USO at the airport, that's got to be special.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, the USO at the airport is a very, very unique location, very much like the locations on Fort Bliss. There was a great deal of support from the community, the El Paso community, and of course the folks at the airport really went out of their ways to make that facility possible. And when you get a chance and you're traveling, please stop by and peek in. Even if, you know, you don't feel like you want to speak to anybody, just peek in so that you can see the labor of love that facility is. It's not a very large facility. It's very cozy, but the decor is top notch. The airport just did an amazing job on the feel of the facility. It's very warm and inviting. It has a Southwest theme with rustic style furniture, and the service members can come in and watch television. We have a television in there with cable, They can come in and grab some snacks, anything, you know, chips, you know, some Slim Jims, maybe have a cup of coffee while they wait for their flight or they wait for their ride to Fort Bliss or whatever that may be. Jump on the internet using the Wi-Fi that the airport provides. But it's just kind of their own space, a little, you know, private area for them to come and sit down and feel comfortable while they wait for their flight. We have the flight boards there so they know if a flight's been delayed or moved up or changed. You know, they're informed that way. And again, that friendly face, we've been open a little less than 2 months, and we've already had service members that are coming in, and right off the plane, they don't know where to go. They see the USO in the B terminal, and, you know, we let them know, hey, you're going to go downstairs. There's a military help desk there. They're going to get you where you need to go. That's where you need to go. And even if it's just that we can provide them, that's great. We had a cadet that was sent down here. It's almost like an internship kind of an arrangement, and he's down here to do some training and really get more acquainted with what he wants to do in his career. And he's never rented a car before. So, you know, just letting him know, hey, do you have a credit card? Because you have to have a credit card to rent a car and, you know, do all of these different things. And even if it's just that, like I said, even if it's just them taking a seat for a moment, or even if we can just let them know how it is to rent a car, first-time travelers, you know, it's a big deal for them.
It's an amazing story. Robert Medrano is our guest on El Paso Primetime, the program coordinator to the El Paso USO locations here. And I have to tell you, Robert, as I listen to you talk about these stories, I'm reminded of a friend of mine who used to work here at the radio station some years back. His name is Felix Vallone. He's now a bus driver in Vicenza, Italy. He was the video coordinator to APHIS in Vicenza. His wife is a principal at a high school there in Vicenza, Italy. But I bring all that up because the one thing that is so common, the whole thread that we've been talking about now for about 20 minutes, is that one-on-one touch, that very first visit to the USO. And I remember Felix saying, if it hadn't been for the USO, I really don't know what I would have done being away from my wife, away from my kids, away from my family, if it hadn't been for the USO.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when have we not ever shown up at a new airport and been just really bewildered about, you know, where we're going to go next, mm-hmm. especially if it's a location out of country. If I've never traveled out of country, so I would imagine the first time I stepped into an airport overseas, I would not know which way to go. But not being a service member myself, even maybe if I don't work with the USO later on in the future, when I do that, if I see a USO, you bet that I'm going to go to the USO and ask, you know, hey, I don't know where I need to go from here.
Right.
Where do I go rent a car? Where's it? You know, I can't read this in a foreign language or whatever that might be. But definitely, I mean, it's the little things. The little things are what really are impactful, mm-hmm. and are what stick with people throughout their lifetime.
I believe that to be true. One of the things that I remember, and we'll go back to let me take you back through the conversation to that mobile canteen you were talking about.
Yes.
In 1998 and 1999, I was part of a news organization. We went to go shoot Operation Desert Shield. Lo and behold, there's a USO canteen sitting out in the middle of McGregor Range, and the one thing that we could not shoot, and I wish we could, was the group of service members enjoying hot dogs and hamburgers in the midst of all of this preparation of Operation Desert Shield. But I'll tell you what, that was such an intimate thing. It was so comfortable to watch the interaction happen and how happy they were after a little bit of a meal to get back to the action.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That relief is, even for a brief moment, is very much appreciated. And the mobile canteen is only one of many, many programs the USO offers. I'd have to tell you there's over 60 programs the USO offers in variety of shapes. But that canteen program is always very special. We still do that. We still go out to McGregor Range and provide those meals. In fact, you know, the freeze that we had not too long ago, a few years back, we had a unit training out there during mm-hmm. that time. And so once that freeze broke, we packed up that canteen and headed out a little north of I don't know if I should just be saying this because they didn't tell us where we were. So
right.
I'm assuming that that they don't want us to know, but a little, you know, in McGregor Range, a little north of that the restaurant that's off of US 54 going towards Alamogordo. And it was just a sight to see these service members still doing their mission after so many of us took 3-4 maybe a week, a whole weekday off, you know, a whole week off to kind of weather the storm. These guys and girls were still out there, you know, praying for what they needed to prepare for. And we show up with this canteen and, you know, start cooking. And we had over 600 service members there. And even while we're trying to serve them, they're working. You know, we had folks coming towards the canteen to break for lunch in sweeping formations. We had folks jumping out of their armored vehicles and grabbing a to-go box and jumping right back in and heading out. So I mean, that's just a great program. And there's always something about breaking bread with one another that really brings people together. Mm-hmm. And kind of builds that cohesion, and again, it's just as fulfilling for the service members to get to have that time, and as it is for the volunteers to be there to experience that.
Again, let's talk about ways that our listening audience can get involved with the USO.
Definitely. So we've been speaking a lot about volunteers at our facilities, volunteers for our canteen program. We have the very varieties of specialties that one might hold, skills that they can support us with. Just let us know what that is, and we'll find some way for you to help us. But you know, there's always the monetary donations. We're a nonprofit. We do not receive money from the Department of Defense. We're our own private nonprofit organization. And that support is essential. So folks can either, you know, swing by one of our facilities and find out how to volunteer. And if they want to donate some money, they can visit uso.org/donateElPaso. Mm-hmm. And they can make a donation, a monetary donation that way. And if there's any a time where, you know, families want to come on a group of folks want to come and do organize an event, that's something that we're open to as well. It's same process of going through the volunteer registration at usovolunteer.org.
One of the things that people have a misconception about the USOs is that the USO only serves the community to which they happen to be in. And the thought would be, oh, well, they only serve El Paso, but that's not true. You serve every service member regardless of who comes in, and families of service members, because you never know from where they come from or where they're headed to.
Oh, definitely. Fort Bliss has seen a tremendous transformation in the last few years, going from a training and doctorate organization to to now a force comm installation. So even with that transition, there's service members again from around the country that come to Fort Bliss because that's how the way their career works, and that's where they end up. Also Fort Bliss is a different installation in that there's what's called the Department of Defense calls jointness. So you have service members from the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. We've even supported a few Coast Guardsmen because they're all here during one part of their career or another, or during some kind of training. Fort Bliss just offers that kind of infrastructure. So we see folks again from all over the country, from every different installation, and like you mentioned, we do not just service the El Paso Fort Bliss area. We also have New Mexico, those installations in New Mexico and those training ranges in New Mexico that are under our umbrella.
It comes to mind Holloman and White Sands Missile Range close by, but you should, God forbid, anything ever happen in the magnitude that it could be, but in case of a disaster or something within this whole region, you would be able to partner with folks in Arizona, with Fort Huachuca and for Davis-Monthan and Luke Air Force Base and numbers that way towards the west. You would also be able to partner out towards San Antonio and Randolph Air Force Base and other installations around in order to make a service person feel comfortable in the line of something.
Oh, definitely. We have a great network of USO facilities in the United States. Texas, just like, you know, anything, just happens to be one of the larger concentrations of USO locations in the United States and in the Western region as well. But just like you mentioned, we do have USOs in Arizona, Las Vegas, in San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Fort Hood, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And very much so, just like the military, you know, we don't leave anyone behind. You know, we're very cohesive. And if we need to move folks around to support those kind of catastrophic events, then, you know, if it's something that we're going to do, we're going to do it.
Yeah, as I recall reading about the San Antonio flood, some of your volunteers from the USO helped and neighbors there in San Antonio get through the flooding situation, which was a real cool thing to read.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an understandable thing. Once you become part of the community at large, then you understand why the USO is such a necessary organization to fund, to fuel, and to volunteer for. One more time, I want to be able to let our listeners know how they can approach you to become a volunteer. Who do they call, and where do they go?
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, they can give us a call at 915-744-3480. Shoot us an email at usoelpaso@uso.org. And or visit, if you want to just, you know, get started right off the bat, visit usovolunteer.org and create a profile. That's the first step to getting started. And then we'll keep in contact with you and get you through all the necessary steps to get your hands dirty, so to speak. And we always say this at the USO, and one of them is the spirit that you're likely to raise is probably going to be your own, because it's just such a fulfilling experience to donate your time, but to see the impact of it and how necessary it is, and then the response of gratitude from the service member.
That's a wonderful thing. Robert, as always, Mikasa Sukasa, and as the holidays start coming up, it is July, but let's face it, the holidays are right around the corner. It starts with Labor Day and then rolls all the way through until we get back to July again. I'd love for you to come back, and let's start reconnecting with the entire community.
Definitely, Dennis. It was a pleasure.
For more information, go to uso.org/El Paso. Stick around. Movies for Grown-Ups with Bill Newcott from the AARP is right here.
Terrence Stamp, Vanessa Redgrave, and A Song of Love. I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups.
And I see your true colors shining through. See your true colors. That's why.
Vanessa Redgrave leads a choir of retiree singers and serenades her grumpy husband, played by Terrence Stamp, in Unfinished Song, a heartwarming new film about longtime love and the courage it takes to find a new direction at any age. Our own Meg Grant sat down with Terrence Stamp to talk about the movie, in which the veteran star finally gets to sing on screen.
What attracted you to the role of Arthur in An Unfinished Song?
In my youth, I had turned down the great Josh Logan, who had wanted me to play the king in Camelot.
Oh.
And I turned it down because I was frightened that I wouldn't be able to sing that score. And I've always regretted it. And then when I heard they'd cast Vanessa, who played Guinevere in Camelot.
Oh.
And she's married to this character who's called Arthur.
Right.
And I have to sing. I felt that the universe was giving me a second chance.
Unfinished Song, starring Terrence Stamp and Vanessa Redgrave, is in theaters now. I'm Bill Newcott.
You've got a good voice, Arthur.
We thank you for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime. Have a wonderful weekend.